Wednesday night study on the scriptures. You should finish part on the inerrancy, the inspiration, and the authority of the Bible tonight. Next week, I'm not for sure how I'll end up, but come with something about maybe looking back over the Bible, the scriptures. Hopefully, this study has increased your faith and that we have the true Word of God, that this is the book, our guidance in this life, and there's no other book but this book. And by following this book, we know that we can be pleasing to our Father, and that by following this book, that heaven will be our eternal abode. Hopefully, it's increased your knowledge on who our Father is, that we can have a better relationship with that term, that we are the children of God, and that He is our Heavenly Father, and that is a very great privilege that we enjoy, and hopefully it's increased your faith that when you talk to Him in prayer, you can address Him as you would your earthly Father. He's your Heavenly Father. We can speak to Him in those terms, and knowing that He has revealed to us who He is, we may have more fully appreciate who our Heavenly Father is. Again, next week, I'm not for sure how I'll end it. Greg's going to be gone the following Wednesday. He's asked me to teach, not his class, but I'll probably do a study on biblical characters that night. So kind of keep that in mind. Again, the inerrancy, the inspiration, and the authority of the Bible. We looked at certain elements that make the scriptures inspired, and one that make them inspired is of divine. The scriptures are of divine origin. We looked at Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. It says that God be found truth, or that God is truth. We read in the scriptures that truth is an attribute of God. Therefore, because that's an attribute of God, that God speaks truthfully and that God does not lie. We can have assurance from that, in that what we have is truth. We begin looking at the inerrancy, or that there's no error in the scriptures because the scriptures are of divine origin. And we looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, where it talks about those individuals there to whom the Spirit came, that moved them. They were moved. They spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. And what that term meant was that they were born along, are carried along by what the Spirit directed them. And we looked at a similar term in Acts chapter 25, verses 15 through 17, of the shipwreck there that Paul was on, and the term there that was used as far as what that was, that they were carried, or that hit, were active, and the sailors that we looked upon that were moved, that they could not navigate the ship. They were being carried. That ship was being carried by the wind, not by the guidance of the sailors there. And so it's the same way when you look at the Old Testament prophets as well as the New Testament writers. They were born along. They were carried along. They were moved by what the Spirit said. And we're going to look at that as we get into the inspiration of the Old and the New Testament about scriptures that point this out. That they did not speak of their own initiative, but what they were guided to speak, that's what they had to speak. And so as well as the apostles. Again, the Old Testament recognizes that the Holy Spirit was who spoke to the writers. 2 Samuel chapter 23, if you'll turn there as we begin. We'll look at these verses and compare even the Old Testament verses to what is said in the New Testament. Sometimes the wording is just a little bit different. But in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 3, a verse that we looked at earlier. Now, these are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse. Thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His words was on my tongue. Again, David spoke, but he was guided by the Spirit of God. And that which the Spirit of God guided him to speak, that is that which he spoke. When you look at Mark chapter 12, as we look at these things that are said about the Old Testament prophets, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Mark chapter 12, excuse me, verse 36. There Christ says, verse 35, then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said, by the Holy Spirit. Again, the thought that David spoke, but he was guided what the Holy Spirit told him to say. And David's quotation, that the Spirit guided him, the Lord said to my Lord, said at my right hand, shall I make your enemies your footstool. And so, when you look back at Psalms chapter 110 and verse 11, this is where that scripture is quoted at, that David there spoke it. But Mark records for us that he spoke by what the Holy Spirit told him to speak, and thus far what David spoke was by the inspiration of God. When you look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 16, again, this thought that the prophets were guided by the Spirit. They were carried or borne along by the Spirit. Begin with verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, altogether the number of names was about 120, and said, men and brethren, the Scripture has been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David. So it was David's voice that was carrying what the Holy Spirit was telling him to say. And so he was inspired on that. He said concerning Judas. And so those things that David spoke concerning Judas, it was not what he thought or any of his thoughts whatsoever, but merely he could only speak what the Holy Spirit told him to speak. In Acts chapter 28, again a verse that we have looked at previously, on the inspiration of the Scripture. And these verses just simply should reassure us that what we have is inspired. The only reason that we are pointing them out. Acts chapter 28, verse 25. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah, the prophet. Again, Isaiah the prophet being inspired. The word was given him by the Holy Spirit. He spoke it. It was written down, but it has reference to that the Holy Spirit spoke. Hebrews chapter 3. We'll turn first to Psalms chapter 95. Greg, if you will, read verses 7 through 11 of Psalms chapter 95. So you have here words that were spoken to backsliding Israel. It was called worship, if you will. It said, do not harden your hearts. The others that follow, as in the day of rebellion. When you turn to Hebrews chapter 3, that the psalmist spoke these words. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. The writer there says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness. So we understand what the psalmist spoke, the Hebrew writer said, the Holy Spirit said. And so you connect the two, that the Holy Spirit was in those prophets telling them what to say. And so there was no error in what they spoke or what they wrote. That's the assurance that we have. Hebrews chapter 10. Before we read that, Donnie, if you will, turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. And look at what Jeremiah said.
So Jeremiah 31:33.
Yes.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Jeremiah speaking on behalf of God, the future, concerning what was going to take place. And when you look at Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 15. But the Holy Spirit also has witnessed to us after He has said, this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days. Again, application that Jeremiah said it, the New Testament writer said the Holy Spirit said it. And so, the idea that they were being guided by the Holy Spirit in what they spoke. And so we can have assurance, as Christ many times quoted Old Testament prophets, that which was written, understood that they were the source of authority for what He was teaching. And He could refer back to them, understand that what they wrote was from God. And He understood that. Any thoughts so far? Psalms chapter 45 and verse 6, I'm going to read. Mark.
Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom.
45 and verse 6. So, again, something that the psalmist spoke and wrote when he turned to Hebrews chapter 1. And again, when you start with verse 1, he's dealing with whom? Dealing with God, okay? And he talks about God, hath in these days spoke to his son, that's the Father's son. So it's dealing with the idea that these statements are made in Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 8, by the God of heaven, or the God of heaven. In verse 5 it says, for to which of the angels did he say? It's talking about who? God, okay? And so that's who is doing the speaking. And in verse 8, he says, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness, hate lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. So the reference to that God said. Again, this idea, even though it's contained in the psalmist. Psalms 102. If you'll turn there. Let me read verses 25 through 27. Psalms 102.
Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end.
All right, again, the psalmist doing the speaking, as well as the writing here. And when you turn to Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 10, goes on with, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hand. Who said that? God. Okay, but it's reference to that he was speaking through the prophets. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Mark.
Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Isaiah in this was sent to King Ahaz. He told Isaiah to go up to Ahaz and speak some words. But when you look at verse 10, this it said, moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz. Well, he spoke through Isaiah, okay, but reference is made that the Lord spoke. And so in this, he mentions, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Isaiah spoke those words to King Ahaz. But even Isaiah makes reference that it was the Lord who spoke to him. When you turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 22, so this was all done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Again, the prophet was just simply a mouthpiece for God, okay? That's all the purpose that he served. that he was guided in what he spoke as well as afterwards, that he was guided in what he wrote. Hosea. Tammy, read. You got your hands full there. 11 and verse, Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1.
11:1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son.
When you look at the same reference in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 15, you have Matthew recording these words, and was there until the death of Herod that it may be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I call my son. Again, this assurance, as Mark deals with authority, you can have a surety that that which is written is our authority. Okay? There's no man's idea in there about anything concerning how we are to worship and serve our God. This is from our Father above. And it's interesting to note when you turn to Job chapter 5 and verse 13. Eliphaz here is speaking to Job in chapters 4 and 5. In chapter 6, Job answers him. But in Job chapter 5 and verse 13, he there says, he catches the wise, that is Eliphaz, catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the cunning comes quickly upon them. But when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19, you have these words recorded by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19, when it says, for this is the wisdom, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness, and again the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and there are few. So he quotes the words that Eliphaz spoke to Job. But they're scripture. And again, it's something for your thoughts, for your studies on that. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 9. Again, as you look at the prophets, as they begin their writing, Jeremiah says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Again, the thought of what Jeremiah spoke was truth. Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 12. Zechariah there says, yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the form of prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. And you see all through these verses that we've looked at one thing. Right? And so when you talk about the inspiration of the Scriptures, the Bible declares that it is from God, by God's own wording, and the Scriptures that we have recorded for us. And so it becomes our standard of authority. As we looked at verses in Matthew chapter 4, and we look at them again. But when Christ was tempted, he quoted, it is written. Okay? And so even the God, he didn't appeal that he was the Son of God, that he was God in flesh, but he appealed to the Scriptures. He didn't have to prove that he was the Son. He pointed that the Scriptures clearly pointed out who he was. And so it was a source of authority to prove that he was the Christ. That Peter made that statement, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so we have that likewise. Jesus promised his followers that it would be the work of the Holy Spirit to provide an accurate recounting of the events of his life. When you look, we looked earlier in John chapter 14, verse 26, as the Old Testament prophets was promised this, that they would be guided to the truth, What they recorded, the writers of the New Testament likewise had that promise from God that they would be guided, they would not take no thought of what they would say at the moment it would be given to them. They would not be in control of the words they were speaking. They were merely speaking what they were told to speak. John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. Again, this promise. And what a great promise that it was. In 16 and verse 12 and 13. Christ our says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now or at this time. But when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. The same promise that was made to the Old Testament prophets was given to the apostles. Therefore, they spoke those words by the what being guided, being filled with the Spirit upon the day of Pentecost, that they were completely, totally filled with the Spirit. They spoke those things on Pentecost that the Old Testament prophets had foretold was going to come to pass. And as Old said, and they got it right. Because they had God there guiding them. So because of this, you and I can trust the Bible as the Word of God. And that the Holy Spirit directed the process from beginning to end. Any thoughts? We look at 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3 and verse 16, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That Paul makes his quotation there, or this statement, that's profitable for to doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. And when Paul said all Scripture is inspired, the thought that he had in mind just the Old Testament Scriptures. And again, that's what most people make application to, okay? To me, he was making script through all Scripture, whatever, when they came about, when they were written down, was going to be inspired. And they were. I know of no other passage where you say that all Scripture is inspired other than that verse. Old and new. So, we understand that as we're going to look, there was already New Testament Scriptures being written. If we looked briefly at that. When you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 16. And we're familiar with this. And if I ask you the context of this chapter, what is it? What's Peter talking about in this chapter? Donnie's using it a million times. Well, verse 2. That you may be mindful of the words which are spoken by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles, Lord and Savior, knowing this first, the scoffers of what? Come in the last days. Said, where's the promise of his coming? He talked about verse 7. The heavens and earth with are now preserved by the same word, reserved for fire until the day of judgment. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise. He will come as a thief in the night. He talks about verse 13, the new heavens and new earth. Verse 14, because he said these things, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. What things? These things he's just talked about. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of what? These things. In which some are hard to understand. Which the untaught and unstable people twist in their own destruction. As they do the rest of the Scriptures. But when you go back to verse 15, it says, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. But when Paul wrote to individuals or churches, what's Peter said he wrote about? That they had. Salvation. But merely these things, what's going to happen in the day of judgment. Peter said, he's recorded. He said, Paul in his writings records the very thing. So you had Scriptures at this time written. That Paul was sending these to, he talks about, a brother Paul has written to you. That Paul wrote to him. And those things at that time were Scriptures. And there's others. We look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Maybe a couple of Wednesdays ago when we were talking about Paul there and Timothy talking about the qualifications of elders and deacons. In verse 15 he says, because of what he's written, he says, but if I'm delayed, I write so you may know how you ought to conduct yourself. Verse 14, these things I write to you. Again, the context is that of elders and deacons. So Paul had been writing at this time. When you look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 that we looked at earlier, John there says, blessed is he who reads. Oh, you have an idea that something's wrote. If you're reading, it's wrote, right, Mike? So it's being wrote, but he goes on to say, those who hear the words of this prophecy keep those things which are written. And so you had New Testament scriptures already being recorded in a book and being sent to churches for them to read. And so, again, the idea of all scriptures given by inspiration of God would have application to what the apostles had written to this point that statement is made. Any thoughts on that? Anybody have anything to add to that? It's kind of answered in one more point. Again, it's for your study on this, with application that New Testament words were already being recorded that we spoke. 1 Timothy 5. Verse 18. And we know that the law of Moses, we looked at when we studied stewardship of the laws concerning the animals and such that they used. But it mentions here, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And the laborer is worthy of his wages. You find two things here in this. One, that Paul says the scriptures already says that you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. When you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 25, you find this scripture that Paul is here referring to. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4. When it says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. But the end that joins another, the labor is worthy of his wages, is not found in the Old Testament. If you look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 7, you find the words here that Christ speaks concerning this. When Christ says there to the 70, and remain in the same house eating and drinking such things as they give you for the labor is worthy of his wages. Who spoke that? Was it already scripture what he spoke that we looked at in 1 Timothy chapter 5? Yes, it was written. When you turn to 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 14, again, reference is made to that. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 14. Paul there says, even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live by the gospel. Paul's already recorded what Christ has said. So that part of what some of that is already recorded in that. When you look in closing, we understand that the Bible is of divine inspiration. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 43. Verse that we looked at, he said to them, how does David in the Spirit call him Lord? It's divine. It's indestructible. These scriptures are indestructible. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all things are fulfilled. So the scriptures are indestructible. And again, they are a final authority. When you turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, after Satan attempted Christ the first time, Christ said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In verse 7, after the second temptation, Christ said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And after the third temptation, verse 10, away with you, Satan, for it is written. Again, the very Son of God appealed to Scriptures for his authority on what he spoke. And finally, if you use these as a source of authority, as Luke chapter 16, verse 31 tells us, but he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one should raise from the dead. They are our source of faith if we heed those things that are written. Any thoughts? I'll conclude the class tonight. Anything to say? All right, thank you.